A weird accident that summer day. A boy of six running across the street, my brother's sitting on the front porch witnessing this accident. I ran. Our house was very convenient. It was in the middle of the block, so we jaywalked often. I was running toward the house. I darted between two parked cars, and I stopped. I put one hand on the trunk of this car. I put the other hand on the other car, and I looked out to down the street. Now, just to show you a little bit of God's sovereignty in just about everything of your life, well, fortunately, I looked the way the cars were going rather than the way they were coming. Because had I looked the way they were coming and I was leaning out like this, well, I would have received this headlight in the face. But as it were, I received it on the side of the head. And it freakishly picked me up between those two cars and hurled me across the street. And that's where I was going. So it helped. I was airborne. And my brother sat there. If he yelled at me, I don't recall it. I didn't hear him. I landed in the driveway on my hands and knees, and I saw this dark stuff dripping down, and I thought, oil. You know, as I reflect back upon it, oil. But then I passed out for a week. Well, not too much resulted from that. And some kids have to learn the hard way. 2 years later, going the other direction. This was the bad one. I bent down to pick up a ball. The kids were playing softball in the courtyard across the street and knocked the ball out into the street. And I bent down to pick up the ball just like this. And that was the last I remember for 34 days. This car struck me and ran across the small of my back with both wheels. It ruptured my spleen. They removed it. A week later, gangrene set in, and they operated again. And then Dr. Smith told my mom, he said, Mrs. Cox, if your boy recovers, we just want to let you know that it won't be because of anything that we've done. Well, obviously, I did recover, and obviously the near-death accident, graphically, needless to say, impressed upon me the reality of death. And from that time on, I knew that I did not have a personal relationship with God. The question of where I would spend eternity became a very serious issue. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but let me interject this. I was at a staff conference. Bob, you may have been at this staff conference down in Florida several years ago in Orlando. Yeah, I'm sure you must have been. We were at some hotel there with all the Southeast staff, and Bob Boardman was at this conference. I forget which year. This was about 70 or so. And Bob Boardman, one of our missionaries in Japan, had been shot through the throat with a Japanese sniper bullet during the World War II. And it nearly killed him. And I was sharing with Bob, and I said, Bob, I had a dream when I was in this coma for 34 days. It was a constant dream. It was something that I've never questioned about. I just know that, you know, after reviewing something for 34 days, you know, you kind of, it's hard to forget. And it's just like last night that I had that dream. And what this dream was, if I were an artist or I had a slide, I could very easily picture it for you. But all it was just a shadow, a silhouette of myself on a precipice looking out over, I guess, what you would call hell. Because all I could vision was just an immense moving motion, a fiery movement. And for 34 days, I went through that. And I says, Bob, did you experience anything like that when you were in your situation? He says, he smiled and he says, Harv, I'm not sure if I envisioned something exactly like that. He says, but I can tell you what it was. I says, I'd really like to know. And he said, do you know the 23rd Psalm? I said, I know some of it. And he said, quote it. And I says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he says, Harv, you were in the valley of the shadow of death. And I thought, boy, that really clicks. He was right. Because I'm not insinuating that I was dead because the doctors knew I had not died and I'm brought back to life or anything like that. But that really clicked. And so, getting back to my testimony here. For the next 10 years, I started searching diligently for that question. And I can honestly say that during that next 10-year period, even though I was very young, I did not meet one real Christian that could help me with that question of where I could spend eternity and how I could get there. After joining the Navy, a couple of shipmates came by my bunk one evening, and they invited me to a Bible study. And these shipmates were navigators. I had never heard it could have been Jim Brown or some cult or you name it. I probably would have gone. But it was a couple of navigator shipmates. And I was around these guys, the two that invited me, plus about a dozen others. Now, this was 28 years ago come January. I was around these men for about 2 hours. And I saw in these group of men what I had been searching for 10 years. The reality of the question. Man, this is real Christianity living. I mean, these guys were living the life. And that excited me. I lied to them, by the way. They asked me if I was a Christian. And, you know, I was born in America. I hadn't killed anybody, et cetera, et cetera. So I was a Christian. You know, that makes you a Christian. But upon our arrival in Japan, the first evening, a Saturday evening, we went to a Japanese church that was loaned to the local Christian groups for a gospel hour situation for American servicemen. And these guys invited me to go, and there was this guest speaker. To my knowledge, I recall, some of you may know of him. I'm not sure if he's still living. But Jake DeShazer was his name. American serviceman that had spent years in a concentration camp and was converted by a Japanese Christian that had slipped him a Bible and went back to Japan as a missionary. Well, I listened to him that night. I had heard something similar before, but I just not responded. And this is what he shared from the Bible. He shared how that everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. And I could identify with that. Because I'm not going into all the gory details, but from that period of time, 8 to 18, I had been involved in stealing, bootlegging whiskey up and down Mississippi, and a number of other things. The Lord protected me from getting involved in the major things. Some of my quote-unquote friends are still doing time. One having killed his sweetheart's dad, the other for car theft and rape and so on, and you name it. And so God had protected me from the seriousness of that. I was always someplace else at that time. But the petty stuff, I revel in it. So I could identify with that. Then he shared what the Bible says will be the results of that shortcoming. And that is eternal separation from God and being. Up comes this picture again. Eternal separation from God. But then he shared the good part. It was like music to my ears. He shared how that Christ came to earth to pay the penalty for these shortcomings. And that if I invite him into my life by prayer, I can have the gift of eternal life. And then I could have this right relationship with God that I had been looking for. At the end of the meeting, I did just that. I went forward to that meeting. I don't know exactly the words I prayed, but all I do is know that I did pray and I invited Christ to come into my life. And I asked him to give me the gift of eternal life. Up until this time, I was in control. I had no real peace. If I wanted joy, I had to manufacture it. Everything about my life was shallow and superficial because I didn't have the real answers. But since inviting Christ into my life, I've experienced this for the last 28 years. I've experienced what I call real peace and real joy. But the greatest benefit of all is knowing that I have eternal life. In closing, let me share a verse of Scripture that has meant much to me. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. I'll just quote it to you. There will be two verses of Scripture, actually. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I had a brother. He died in 1958. He was born a cerebral palsy victim, completely helpless, never walked and never talked all his 27 years of life. My mother never submitted him to any institution or hospital or anything else. She spoon-fed him for 27 years. Now, what's the difference between my brother, Paul, and me? I grew and he didn't. He didn't grow mentally. He had the physical fitness maybe of a 14-year-old and the mental maybe of a 1-year-old. Okay, being in charge of the grounds out here, I get a lot of credit. All these other guys are doing all the work. Dan and Craig and Ford and Jan and many others. But you have a tree out here, especially wintertime now. Go out and look at some of them. The ones that the leaves have fallen off of. And we have several dead ones that we've planted recently. You tell me which one is alive and which one is dead. It'd be hard to do unless you're a professional. Well, what's the difference between the live one and the dead one? Basically, one is growing and one is not. We can all do a little bit better if we try a little bit harder. If these navigator shipmates of mine had not come by and helped me, after I became a Christian, by the way, they helped me to grow. They handed me these little verses of scriptures we carry around in our pockets, you know, but most of us learn them by osmosis. We don't really take them out and look at them. We just carry them around, and they just hopefully they'll just kind of soak through our pants pocket and into our skin, and we'll memorize them, you know, but it... But we carry these verses of Scripture around. But they gave me, I memorized 2 Corinthians 5:17 before I knew John 3:16. And I thought that was kind of exciting after everybody else knew John 3:16. Back home down in Mississippi where I came from, well, man, they could quote John 3:16 until you're blue in the face. They could quote this and that and the other, and they had a pretty good message, but no life, some of the kids that I was comparing my life with. And then they started helping me, this fellow, he started helping me with doing a simple little Bible study. And I found out something. After a year, something started happening. I couldn't understand it. And what it was I was growing as a Christian. The things that I knew a year ago, my knowledge had just increased. The things I enjoyed doing a year ago, I didn't enjoy doing now. I was maturing as a Christian. I was feeding upon his word, and I was growing. And this fellow would come by, "How are you doing on your verses, Art?" "Well, so-so." "Well, what's your latest one? Let me check you out." Or, "Can we get together this week?" And once a week, we'd have a quiet time together. We would pray, we'd read the Bible, and he'd check me out on my Bible study. And it made a difference in my life. A Christian cannot be productive and growing apart from the Word of God, no more so than a human being can grow apart from food. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Thank you for listening.